Today's message comes from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 to 12. Just read along with me if you could in your church bulletin. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more honorable on that day for Sodom than for that town.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I'd like to start off with a word of thanks for just welcoming my family and myself here and opening up your homes, allowing just to be here with you and just to worship with you is such a treat. I know that a lot of you here are thinking, "Oh man, what is this guy going to say?" And to be honest with you, before our home assignment, I wasn't sure what I was going to say, because I've been away from the States for 2 years and all the things that are going on within our country, I wasn't sure what to say. I was thinking, what words can I say that wouldn't trigger anybody? And I thought, maybe I'll just talk about the love of God. And then I'm thinking, someone might be sitting in the pews thinking, "Well, what do you mean by love?" And I thought, wow, it could be something of that nature. But as a missionary, I thought today this passage would be appropriate as a reminder to all of us. Because the other fear that I had, that I have, is oftentimes when we go to churches and people have been members or Christians for quite a long time, when they listen to a message or someone like myself, and for those that are home watching this, don't adjust your color. This is the way God made me. And yes, this is the way God made me. What happens is sometimes we see if the word matches what we already know. In the 18 years that Pastor Robert has been here, I'm sure he's come across a similar passage or this passage, and you're saying to yourself, "Does he say what I already know? Am I going to agree?" And that's not what I want to see happen tonight. My prayer before I got here is that the Holy Spirit would speak to each of you and teach you something new. And the only thing I'd like to talk about today is, as it says in the church bulletin, as the scripture, as the title today is simply, Person of Peace. And that is my desire as we look at Luke tonight, to think about those things as we spend this time together, honoring our Lord and reading His Word and learning from His Word. So with that said, would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here and for my family to be here, and just the loving open arms in which we were received. Father, it's obvious that there are people of peace here at First CRC. And I ask that the rest of Linden and the community and all the other towns around them would see that and see Christ in their lives every day. Be with me, that the words that I speak be yours, that you would receive all the glory. And today, as I said earlier, please, Lord, let the Spirit teach us something new, not only as a reminder of what it says in Scripture, but as we think about what it means to be that person of peace. We thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Before the Lord called me to ministry some 33 years ago, I was a graphic designer. And I worked for the number 2 ad agency in the United States, and we had a lot of people in this company. But we had this one particular guy. He was a copywriter for the company, quite arrogant. And this person would always talk about how he knew everyone. I mean, he'd just go around and come during lunchtime or the water cooler and say, "I know everyone. I know everyone," is what he said. But one day, our boss came and overheard this and said, "You know, nonsense. I'm sick and tired of this employee talking about how he knows everyone." So I said, "Okay, you know everyone." His name was Dave. "Dave, why don't you introduce me to one of our clients that you know so well?" And he said, "Go ahead, boss. Name anyone. Name anyone in Hollywood you'd like to meet." He goes, "Well, how about Harrison Ford? For some of you young people, that's the Indiana Jones long before your time, right?" And so he said, "Fine." I mean, we were working with a lot of Hollywood movie studios anyways, and so I said, "Okay." So the next day, they took the company car, went to his house, knocked on his door, and guess who answered the door? Harrison Ford. He said, "Oh my gosh." The employee, the copywriter's name was Dave. He goes, "Dave, what? It's been a while, man. Come on in. Come and have a beer. And bring your friend too. Let's talk." The boss, completely stunned, he said, "Oh my gosh, he knows Harrison Ford." And then he said to him, he goes, "Ah, still I don't believe it." On the way out, he said, "I don't think you know everyone, Dave." He goes, "Okay, you're not convinced. Who else would you like to, you know, meet? Who do you want to meet?" He said, "Okay." And being a smart guy, the boss said, "President Reagan." So now you know we're talking about a long time ago, right? 33 years. I said, "Okay." So they took the company jet the next day, went to Washington, D.C. And as they started the White House tour, guess who comes out of his office? President Reagan. And he says, "Dave?" And his boss, shocked, couldn't believe it. He said, "Come on into the office. I was going to hold a press conference, but come on in. Let's chat. It's been a while." So they go in, and the boss is still stunned. There's no way this guy knows. He knows the president. It's sheer luck. And on the way out, he says to Dave, "I don't believe you that you know President Reagan. Two people out of the world. What luck." He goes, "Okay, fine. Name somebody else then." So the boss, thinking, he said, "You know what? The Pope. Let's go meet the Pope." "Sure, it's been a while, but let's go to Vatican City." So they take the plane and they go to Vatican City, and they're sitting in St. Peter's Square. And then he says, "Oh, this is not going to work." Dave says, "His boss is not going to work. He's not going to see me from the balcony. I better go up there and I'll wave to you from up there." And the boss, stunned, says, "No way." But lo and behold, as the boss looks up at the balcony, who shows up? It's the Pope. And there, standing next to the Pope, is Dave. Completely stunned, he has a heart attack. He collapses, and as Dave's looking down from the balcony, he says, "What's going on?" So he rushes back down to where his boss is. The ambulance is there, everybody's there, and he says, "Are you?" And he shakes him awake. "Are you okay? Are you okay?" As he comes to the boss, says, "That was it. I couldn't believe it. I was completely shocked." He goes, "Why? What happened? I saw you there next to the Pope, and the guy standing next to me taps me and goes, 'Who's that guy standing next to Dave?'" Of course, that part is a joke. It would be nice in our world if we had a person like Dave to introduce us in places like First CRC, someone that knows everyone. It would be nice for us as missionaries going to a place like Japan, where the country people do not like Koreans, like myself, to have the person of peace. We've already witnessed and we've already experienced the love that you guys have shown us. I've gotten fatter since I got here, you know, much to my chagrin of the doctors that tell me to lose weight. I don't listen to them anyways. If it doesn't come from the Bible, I don't pay attention, right? But Luke is clear, and let me be clear today. In the book of Luke, he makes it clear, because not only talks about it once, where Jesus in chapter 9 sends out the 12, by the time we get to chapter 10, he sends out 72. Some manuscripts say what? 70. But despite the number or little discrepancy we may find, Jesus is sending out more workers. After the first time in chapter 9, they do so well, they're so excited. The joy that even fills Jesus' heart that they had a successful mission. He does other great things. We know that in chapter 9, he feeds the 5,000. So there's more people following Jesus. When we get to chapter 10, he says what? "I'm going to send out 72 this time." But the message is very similar. Go. Don't take money bags. Don't take anything. You're going to go to a town. You're going to go, I'm sending you out lambs amongst wolves, and you are to find that person of peace. And I want to challenge all of us today to either be that person of peace, right? Or to find those people and connect them, because we do have a person of peace in our life. And who is that person? Much greater than Dave. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in our lives, we need to show the love of God, not just only talk about the love of God. And we're going to a country, this country of Japan has less than 1% Christians. And in the last 4 years, that number dropped by another 35%, according to the census in Japan. They call Japan a place, they call it the tourist heaven. For those of you that have been to Japan, you know how beautiful the country is. But for the missionary, they call it a graveyard. Missionaries come back beaten. Why? Because it takes forever to make a friend. You go to Japan, you're not allowed to talk politics or religion. And it takes at least 2 years to find someone you can finally talk about these deeper things, especially theological things. And yet, after 11 years, my wife and I, taking the call, saying yes to the Lord, are going to a country such as that. If you look at Scripture, it's very clear. I just want to read to you what 5 and 6 says again. It says, when you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. But how do you find someone like that? That's why we need your prayers. We need the saints, not only in the States, but you know, the saints all over, children of God all over the world, praying that God will do what He wants to do, as He says in Timothy, that all men would be saved, to use people like my wife, myself, our daughter, and the other missionaries that are there to do what? To preach the good news of Jesus Christ. It's interesting that in Luke he says, I'm sending you out like lamb amongst wolves. I'm telling you, as wonderful as the Japanese people may seem to you, they don't like Koreans. And yet we're going to a place like that. We're going to a place where a long time ago, before I was married, I was willing to die for the Lord on the field. I wanted to be the modern Jim Elliot. I want to say, God, I'm ready. I'll get on a plane. Spears come my way, I'll take them all. Long as I get to do something for the kingdom. And tonight, that is what I'm asking us to be or know that what we're going to do in a place like Japan. But why the person of peace? As it says, if we know somebody in Japan and we know, and you know, they're very well connected, they receive us, they take us into their house, they start introducing us to other people that they know. Let's be honest. I was here at First Linden this morning, and without the introduction of some of the elders or other deacons, I wouldn't get to know a lot of people. We walked into Rustler's yesterday because we were invited by a wonderful couple for lunch. I step in, this random woman I've never seen before flashes these beautiful pearly whites at me, and she's like, hi! And I was thinking, I don't know you, right? Who are you? But I felt like, oh, they don't have enough Asians in Linden, right? And I was some, like, I don't know, token surprise to her. But being Christ-like, trying to be the person of peace myself, I waved back and said, hello, good afternoon. And I thought, how strange. But see, you can be that person yourself. Instead of just bringing your friends or bringing the people that you know alone, but introducing them to other people. To go around and when you come to church and say, hi, this is my friend so-and-so. Not because we're the missionary family that you're thinking about supporting. Nor am I the guest speaker for the evening. But instead, you are going out of your way to be that person of peace so that people may see Christ in all of us. That's the challenge. Right? For us as missionaries, we're going to a place, they don't, you know, and I said this yesterday, Japan is a wonderful country, but they're equal opportunity haters. They're so proud as people, they hate everyone, right? And I mean that in the nicest sense. I don't think Linden's that way, from what I've seen so far, But the church of God must not be that way. We must find ourselves to be out of comfort zones, to be out of the places that make us uncomfortable, to go out of your way to welcome people to the church. You have to be that person of peace, because we, in this United States especially, we have heard the gospel too many times. We've come to a place in our lives where we don't even read the Bible because we don't have to. You guys understand that, right? I whip out my smartphone or I get my iPad. I don't have to read it. Why? Because I can read it at any time. And if I'm so inclined and I'm so lazy, I could just hit play on my phone and listen to the Bible. I don't even do that. And how are we supposed to teach the Word, the truth of God, when we ourselves are not immersing ourselves in the truth? This morning, Pastor Robert gave a wonderful, wonderful message on Romans. But the thing that I was most happy about was that little verse they had, Acts 1:8. And it said what? That you will be my witnesses to the end of the earth. How many times have you heard that? But how many times have you practiced that in your life? People are always saying, oh, you missionaries think that we have to go somewhere to proclaim the gospel. I get it. We're going to share the gospel with our neighbors and communities, but church, you're supposed to do that every day. But that's not the mission field, or that is not what the Great Commission is about. Right? The great theologian, Chris Rock, the comedian, one time said what? His friends would come very proudly and say, I feed my kids. And Chris Rock said, you're supposed to feed your kids. What do you want, a cookie? Right? You want to be rewarded for something that you're supposed to do. We as Christians are called to do what? To be evangelists in our backyards every day. Santa Francis Assisi said what? Preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. But that is not the ends of the earth. That is why I believe First CRC does well, because they support missionaries that go to the ends of the earth. And that is the call that is being asked of us. That is the call that's being asked of all of us. To think God's way, if you guys can take a look at verse 1, it says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them ahead of them, two by two in every town and place where he himself was about to go. Jesus simply did not command the 72 just to go. He was going to go and follow them thereafter. He always put his money where his mouth is, right? That's what I love about our Lord. He didn't sit back on some throne and sit there and say, well, I'm God. You do the work. Instead, he challenged all of us and said, I'm going to join you there, but I want you to go first. He did wonderful works. When you read the rest of chapter 10 and even also 9. But what happens? The thing about God that's most amazing, he uses everyday people. Where did he get these 72? It might have been from the 5,000 that he just fed. And for those of you theologians out there, say, it's up to 20,000. Because if we include their wives and children. But even feeding 5,000 alone is such a great task. But from there he chose 72 and they went out. And God says what? Jesus says to them what? Don't take anything. Because he wants the people that he sends to rely on himself, or to rely on Jesus and Jesus alone. We come here, as I said, we've been fed so well, I got so fat, it's like not even funny, right? But I mean, you guys have been gracious. You guys have been kind. This is what person or people of peace look like. This is what changes the community when they see Christ actively working in our lives. This is what happens. Being an Asian American, I still get a lot of weird stares, as I said. We go to places where people say some of the strangest things to me. I had an elderly man come up to me after one service and said, son, I was so surprised today that you spoke English so well. And I thought, wow. How should I speak English, right? But you know what? I don't care. I don't care about the racism. I don't care about the hatred. I don't care about these things, because this is what sin does to people. What I care about is that we're obedient to our Lord Jesus Christ and we carry out the task that is asked of us. And that is what's being taught in Luke today. Someone said this morning, our great pastor said, your great pastor said what? We're grafted into this vine. We're grafted and we somehow bite the hand that feed us, right? Was that the term that he used, sir? We're so ungrateful. But look at the Lord. Verse 1 just sends out everyday people. He's not asking us to be equipped. He's going to equip us. You guys see that? He just says, go. I say yes. And he equips us. And he sends them out with very little. So amazing. If you look at verse 2, he says what? And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We've heard that a million times. We get it. But it doesn't mean that we stop going. Instead, he does what? He says, continue to pray. Continue to ask the Lord to send out workers. Go and ask God to send you. Pray. And if you guys are so keen, and you remember, not only in Luke, but in Matthew 9, 37 and 38, he says something very similar, Jesus. Although Luke the physician writes what he does factually, and then Matthew writes it in the way that he knows how to write as well. But in Matthew, they use the word ekbalo, fancy Greek word, and it simply means to cast out. It's the same word they use, Jesus' word, you know, they use in the New Testament to cast out demons. Luke was a little more polite when he said apostello, but it still means to send away. Can you see how urgent it is that we, the children of God, are asked to go out and share the gospel with our lives? That's what he's saying here. Ekbalo, I cast you out amongst lambs, like lambs amongst wolves. Why? So that they can see that there is a God who wants to commune with his creation. There is a God who wants to use us so that they may know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's not to be taken lightly. Sure, you might say, oh, words mean everything. We don't mince words, but regardless, it's to send out, and that is us. That is the message that Luke is telling all of us when he says, go, as we find in verse 3 of Luke in the passage, or to send, from Matthew 9:38. The message is the same. If you look at Luke 10 altogether, Luke writes something where he's trying to tell us God is really for missions in every way. It's not just something to be cheapened, something to be taken, you know, once in a while for offering, but he's asking all of us, ekbalo, he's asking all of us to go out, to be cast out, so that the world may know the love of Jesus Christ. And he's calling all of us to do it. And you know what? You've heard this before. Because you're a great church. You have great pastors. But it's on our part now to always do what is being asked of us. If you can't go, then send. And if you can't do that, then pray. You've heard that a million times. But how many of us still in our pews still don't do that much? We always find reasons. It's so easy not to go. But we're ready to go, and we've been on the field, and we suffered a lot. But it's not about the sob story, because the triumph of saying yes to God, to do the word, the Lord's work, it's an amazing place. But can I tell you what even makes it better is knowing that brothers and sisters like you are praying for us. Because we can't do it alone. You know, and even a task of prayer is difficult. It's not. I shared a little joke on Friday. I was having a discussion with an elder one day, and I said, sir, I don't want your money. You know, I don't want money from anybody. Because what do churches do when they see someone like me? Oh, he's here. He's going to ask us for money. We're going to support. I don't want your money. And so the elder said to me, you know, Charles, you're asking people for something that costs more than money. And I said to him, okay, then just give me your money. You don't want to pray. Just send your check our way. And he laughed and he said, you know what I mean. And you, my dear brothers and sisters at this church, know what I mean. As all of us are asked to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ It is not an easy task. Oswald J. Smith, maybe you know him or not, a Canadian pastor once said this, "Any church that is not seriously involved in helping fulfill the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to exist." Pretty harsh, right? Right? It says what? Any church that is not seriously involved in helping fulfill the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to exist. Ouch. Is that 100% true? I don't know, but I know where he's getting at. And then he also said this. Even more bluntly, he said, "A church that does not evangelize will fossilize." Church that will not evangelize will fossilize. We say we love the Father. We want to say yes to what He's asked us to do. It means that in our lives, we commune with our Father, the one triune God. It means that in every day, every aspect of our life, whether we are students, whether we are farmers, whether we are retired, that everything we do reflects the love of God in all the things that we do. So that your neighbors, the people around you in your community, can see Jesus in our lives. Because that's what the world needs more than anything else. Japan does not know the gospel. For you English teachers out there, you know that's bad grammar, right? Double negative, you get where I'm getting at, right? They know Jesus very well. But they systematically rid the country of Christianity in the 16th century. The emperor at that time didn't want any competition. He didn't want anyone else but himself to be recognized. So he kicked everybody out. And they had like a few hundred years of closed country where no one, they traded with nobody. And that's the way the country was. They persecuted all the Christians then, and he scared everybody into not wanting to be followers of Jesus Christ anymore. Church, let's be honest. When's the last time you were persecuted for your faith? I don't mean you young teenagers. Remember those days? You know, you're going on a hot date, and you got a zit on your nose. You're like, "Why, God? Why are you doing this?" That's not persecution. That's just like, hormones, right? But when is the last time we were persecuted for our faith? Because it's only through persecution that Jesus says we will face until something is gone, do we realize how precious it is. And that is the country that we are going to, where they know Jesus as one of many gods. One of many. They have 8 million gods in Japan. 8 million. I can't name 10. They make Jesus one of the top four sometimes. Shintoism, Buddhism, Confucianism. They put Jesus there. And this is what they say. Just in case we're wrong about the other three, we want to be saved with that fourth. I said, it doesn't work that way. You wouldn't give your loyalty to the emperor and somebody else. And they go, "Oh, good point." But they need to see Jesus. So does the community of Linden. They need to continue to see Jesus in our lives. And finally, I want to talk about this, going God's way. Look at verses 3 and 4. He says, "Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road." Such a strange thing to say. But this is the nature of those that do God's work. Even to your neighbors, when you are sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, you're not always welcome. People that you talk to and invite to church, they don't always want to come. Because oftentimes, they feel already let down by this God at least one time in their life, maybe in their early teenage years, even younger than that. Things don't go their way as they get to middle age and whatnot. But we don't give up. We keep on doing this. We keep on showing the love of God. Why? Because we need to find that person of peace sooner or later to make a difference wherever we're going. But the challenge, once again, is will you be that person? Can people point to you and say, they go to First CRC and that person knows everybody? And that person will help you find a community. But ultimately, that church will help you know the Lord Jesus Christ, the one triune God only. That is what we're trying to ultimately get at. Let me just finish with this. I was told not to speak too long, right? Did I hit the mark? Evangelism without love becomes noise. But evangelism rooted in love reflects Jesus' heart, his heart. The world doesn't just need to hear us say we are Christians. They need to see us live as friends of Jesus. How many times have you heard that? Well, let today be a million and one. Until we are living out our faith, until we are practicing the things of God, whether we got it perfect or not, but until we understand in the deepest part of our hearts that God desires everyone to be saved, as it says in Timothy, we're not done. We are not done. And Luke in this passage makes it very clear to us what we are facing in the world. My challenge once again is to let that wall of missions be filled. People that you're willing and joining and praying together with. Why? Because the world desperately needs Jesus still. And I believe this church is filled with people of peace. And may you do wonderful things for the kingdom of God here in Linden. Let's pray. Lord, let us carry out your work with great faithfulness. Help us in our daily lives that even through the trials and the difficulties that we face, that we would never forget that you are using our lives, everyday normal people, to go out into the world, to reach the ends of the earth, the people, the lost, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone that we come across. And Lord, I ask that you would bless the people of this church even more than they could ever want, so that they may give you all the glory with their lives. Thank you, Lord, for your word. May we just live it out in faithful obedience every day. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.